Welcome, my friends, to Scry Me a River, the MTG Advice Podcast. I'm Riley.
I'm Dennis.
And we're here to solve your problems. Just to paint a picture for the viewer at home, this is something very strange is happening. Dennis usually like sits forward in his chair in a little video chat now and is like hyped and ready to go. He's sitting back very relaxed with his eyes closed.
Yeah, I was wondering if closing my eyes would affect the podcast at all. I imagine it'll make reading the questions more difficult, but outside of that, I wonder if it'll change things.
Dennis, I don't think it'll change anything when it comes to you reading the questions.
All right, okay.
You don't read the questions as it is, so I don't think your eyes being open or closed.
Sometimes I have to read them live.
You look very zen, mate. You look very relaxed.
I've got a little zen garden.
Are we going to have
a little zen garden?
Have you got an actual little zen garden?
Yeah. Here.
Is this a bit? Oh, he's picking something up here. It's coming into focus. Oh, he does. It's got a little rake and everything. Like there's the sand and the rocks and there's like one of them little things, like a little, what are they, like a little obelisk or something?
Yeah. Sometimes I come in and there's a paw print in here and I'm like,
Well, now who could have done that? I'd be very scared about having that at my desk. There's like sand and stuff everywhere.
You don't like sand?
It's coarse and rough and it gets everywhere.
Oh, go murder some kids about it. Jesus. Yeah. It's a Star Wars reference, if anybody's not. Things are just being really
Dennis
weird.
Isn't actually advocating, you know, sand-based child murder.
I would never advocate younglings, Riley. Not younglings.
Not younglings. Not the younglings. Welcome to another absolutely chock-a-block episode of Scry Me a River. Last week, we claimed it was a smaller episode. Still went for an hour.
Yeah, I think this might actually be a sub-hour.
I don't think that it matters how many submissions we get. I think we're still in that sweet spot. We're still like, we're never like after 25 minutes, well, nothing left to talk about.
Good night, everybody.
See you later, you know, and yeah, exactly. What is there to talk about this week, Dennis? I understand big news at our primary sponsor, channelfireball.com. There has been an announcement.
Riley, channelfireball.com is changing forever.
Channelfireball.com moving away from magic cards. They are now selling cheese and other dairy products.
Mm-hmm.
For all your dairy related needs, Channel Curd? No, I didn't think that went through.
Channel Firebree? Channel Brie Ball? Channel Cheese Ball?
Channel Cheese Bag.
Nice.
Channelcheesebag.com. What's going on at Channel Fireball? This marketplace, has been a lot of chat about it, Dennis. There's been an announcement made this week. Times are changing.
Channelfireball.com.
Mm.
And the Channel Fireball is going to, as we've been talking about before, is going to turn into the Channel Fireball Marketplace, a place for game stores around the country, United States only at launch, I'm afraid, to peddle their wares, both Magic and Pokemon and Flesh and Blood and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Dragon Ball alike, to players throughout the country. We're taking a step back, Riley. We're getting out of the singles game.
Yeah.
We're getting married.
Yeah. The hot singles no longer are coming from your area.
Yeah, they're coming from a sort of decentralized network of areas around the country.
Yeah, a decentralized network of hot singles that are being shipped throughout the...
But no, it's a marketplace for card games.
Yeah.
Populated only by stores.
Mm-hmm.
So you can trust that it's not some random guy in his mom's basement shoving cards into a Rice Krispies box and sending them off to you.
Selling water-damaged cards that have been set in a basement.
And you're supporting game stores. And game stores... Like, I say a lot of things on this podcast that I don't mean, but this is one that I do mean.
Wait, what?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
What have you said that you don't mean?
Happy to be here.
Wow.
Nice to see you.
Okay.
How are you? I care about you. Yeah. You know, all the
cool
hits.
Thanks, man. Really good. Really, really good.
Game stores are like the lifeblood of card games.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can order card games on the internet from places like chaffob.com, use Kuma Code Smart. It's not the same.
Mm.
You need a place to play those cards that is not just your kitchen table. You know, game stores are where hobbies and memories and lifetime friendships are made.
Yep.
And we want to support that. So on September 30th, Channel Fireball will cease to be as you know it and return as a customer, to be honest, largely unchanged.
That's what I was going to ask, because I got the email from Gabby being like, oh, here's what's happening. And Gabby's email says, as a customer, not a lot will change while shopping at CFB.
Yeah, true.
So, like, you'll type in your, you know, Forsworn Paladin or whatever the card that you want is, and it will still pop up.
There's a massively increased chance we have it in stock, if that's worth anything.
Yep, and it'll be up there, and you can see how much it's going to be and whatever else, add it to your cart and get on your way. But from the back end, I guess, like, you know that this is going back to a part of the community that has done it really tough for a long time. You know, the LGSs have, for a number of different reasons, have had a really rough go of things. Of course, the pandemic first on that list. A couple of other things have been going on as well. So
And like that's part of the reasoning here is we, like all of China Football's marketing spend, content budget, everything is staying there, and it's going to be pushing people to buy stuff from stores instead of from us.
Yep. It's pretty sick, but apparently not much else is changing when it comes to...
You'll still go and buy your cards there.
Content, store credit, no difference there, right?
Yep.
Yep, you can just use that anywhere.
And the stores will get paid out fully in cash for it.
Oh, you're not paying them in store credit? That'd be funny. Like, I've got $500 in store credit. I'll buy all this thing from this shop, and there's some shop in Wichita in Kansas that is like, all right, well, the sale came through. Oh, excellent. Very good. We've been hurting this quarter. It's like, yeah, but it's $500 of Channel 5 store credit. Ah, now, are we able to pay the rent? No, we're not able to pay the rent with that. Oh, maybe. Maybe you got a landlord who's into magic. Maybe they'll take it.
You got a landlord who's also in the Channel 5 marketplace. You're kind of just describing a Ponzi scheme, basically, at this stage.
Hey, listen, if we're at the top of it, Dennis, that's fine.
There's only one person at the top of Ponzi.
Who's that?
Ponzi.
Didn't Ponzi go to prison?
Yes.
Okay, well, then hey, the throne is vacant, dude.
That's true.
Is there room for two? I'll sit in here.
Do you know how Ponzi schemes work? It's wild.
So a Ponzi scheme works by you take money off the people beneath you and promise money to them that actually never gets paid. Like, the money goes up only. It never moves down.
Like, it would be like, hey, Riley, I have a great business idea.
Yeah.
I'd like $1,000.
Okay.
And you're like, okay.
Well, first of all, I'm not like, okay, because I know you, but I'd say, sure. let me hear more about it first.
Well, let's say you're into it.
Okay.
And then you give me $1,000, and then I go to Jeff. I'm like, Jeff, I've got this great business idea. Riley's already in for $1,000. Yeah. You want to get in on this?
Yeah.
For like and Jeff's like, great, I'll give you $2,000.
Yeah.
And I go back to you and I go, Riley, here's your $1,200 dividend and $1,000 you gave me.
Yeah.
You want to re-up? And you're like, oh my God, yeah, already? Yeah, I'll put in $5,000. Yeah. That's the whole scheme.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And the more people you get in, the more money that gets put into it. And Ponzi schemes do work if you have an infinite number of people constantly putting money in. Then everyone can make money. But Dennis, here's the thing. And this is what Ponzi didn't think about. It's unlucky because obviously it was, for him, revolutionary business model, could have taken the world by storm. You know, he really was a visionary. But he forgot that there aren't an infinite number of people.
This is not dissimilar to how banks work, though.
Okay.
Like, when you put your money into a bank, we can't all withdraw our money from the bank at the same time.
Yes, yeah.
Because a lot of it is in mortgages and things.
A lot of the banks are like, all the banks are like, oh, no, you can have all your money whenever you want, but just don't ask for it all, please.
Yeah.
Not everyone at the same time. Yeah. One time, when I went to move overseas and I had to transfer all my money, you know, obviously from Australian to euros, and I had to make an appointment with the bank to do this. And I was like, why? And they're like, no, we just need to make sure we've got everything prepared for you. It's like, it's my money. It's like, no, we just need to make sure we've got everything prepared for you. It's like, okay, mate, all right, what are you doing? They're calling like, quick, Riley's coming in. We've got to pull it out, pull the money out, sell, let's go. But I think there's an element of that to it. I mean, I was transferring thousands, not millions, but you know, there's an element of not everyone at the same time, please.
Please, one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time, exactly.
And then if some of you could die sometimes and default on your mortgages, that'd be great.
That'd be very helpful. So banks have got it all sorted out. Just like Channel 5 will have got it all sorted out with the new marketplace that is coming your way.
That's the tagline. Channel 5 marketplace, not a Ponzi scheme.
I feel like you could have done better than that.
No, because it makes all other marketplaces look like Ponzi schemes by contrast.
Can I tell you
it's like when you market marshmallows as asbestos free.
It doesn't do that. And can I tell you why? It immediately makes me think, why are they so keen to point out that it's not a Ponzi scheme? I didn't think it was. This is like when we get questions from Vin the Human.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I didn't think that you weren't a human, Vin, until you said that. And now I think you're not, because you said that you are.
I like asbestos-free marketing.
Dennis, I wouldn't consider marshmallows to have asbestos in them until they claim to be asbestos-free.
Channel Fireball Marketplace, low fat.
Is it, though?
I mean, yes.
I guess so. I guess by definition, because it's a marketplace.
If you consume the API, I don't think it gets you any caloric value.
What's the caloric value of a magic card?
Not zero.
You get fat-free magic cards?
Probably. Paper probably is not fat. Paper plastic.
It's probably not very fattening. Yeah. Don't try this out. Let's not. We don't need Scryhards putting this.
Have you eaten a card?
No. The.
I've eaten a card.
No, I punished a card once by dunking it in water.
Ooh.
Yeah. I gave it a bit of a bath in a glass of water to punish it for not being any good. It was a precinct captain.
That's relatively recent. You were an adult when that came out.
Well, I've only played Magic as an adult.
I guess it's true. Yeah, it's weird because it's a children's card game. That's unusual.
Very strange because it's a children's card game. Anyway, if you want to get your hands on some children's cards, channelfiber.com. I mean, if you want to, if you hate supporting LGSs, if you can't stand LGSs and you want them to fail, hurry up. Because soon, all of your purchases at channelfiber.com will be supporting LGSs. So you got until September 30 to get
if
across
it. If you want to get your hands on some children's cards, channelfiber.com or your nearest playground. Both equally good options.
I wouldn't do that. I don't think you should go around mugging children for their cards.
I hear it is very easy to steal from children. Famously so.
Famously so. Particularly to take confectionery.
Confectionery
and other...
Like the saying goes, Riley. Yeah. Like... procuring confectionery from an infant.
Exactly right. And before the midden hits the windmill, Dennis, for that, we should continue on and deal with our short-lived FM radio. Sorry, let's try again.
Short-lived for the wrong reason. So we'll get into this in a second. Yeah.
11:30 here on Riley FM, joined by Dennis. Good to have you. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We just heard a song there from... No, you're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to back announce tracks, are you?
Mm-mm.
No, you move on.
You can.
No. You're not supposed to, I think you just...
You can ask James. James used to be a radio host.
I think you just... Oh, that's right. You never say that was. You never go, that was Rihanna. You just say Rihanna, whatever. Anyway, 11:30 here on a grey old Tuesday. Hope you're having a great day. Dennis, Secret Sound. Obviously, we announced
Secret
it last week.
Secret Sound.
No one was even close.
No.
Last week, we... Dennis, you want to give us the sound again? Dennis got an item, activated, utilized that item, and we said if anyone guessed what it was, we would give them a month of CFB Pro. I'd like to now announce the winner of the Secret Sound competition. Who guessed the sound, Dennis, one more time? It was no one.
Not even close.
Dude, we had guesses like... Stapler was the... Everyone went for Stapler. Pen clicking was another one. Pez dispenser, which in my book is the closest one.
Mm-hmm.
I like Kingio guessed... Oh, it was Dennis hitting his space bar, immediately followed up by Avocado saying, well, he bumped the microphone with it, so I highly doubt that it was his space bar. then we had someone suggest the... staple remover things.
Ooh,
the one that looked like vampire teeth. Yeah.
So I was... Riley was like, what are we going to do? Nobody guessed. I was like, well, that's the whole point. That's like a radio show. You just keep it going. Riley was like, I do not want to talk about this every week.
I don't want this to be a segment every week. So we're drawing a line under it. It wasn't a three-hole punch. It wasn't a single-hole punch. It wasn't a double-hole punch.
It was a quadra-hole punch.
It was a quadra-hole punch, and you all lose. No, Dennis, tell us what the secret sound was.
This was me clicking the mechanism on my secret safe wallet. One of those wallets that has a little compartment for the cards that flick out and it sounds like this.
That was him hitting the microphone. Yep. So it's this little wallet, weird wallet thing that when you click a button, the card like kind of shoots out. What's it called? Secret.
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 Oh, so it was not a... Oh, so you gave people a clue.
It was a secret sound.
It was a secret sound. It wasn't a secret sound.
Mm.
Oh, man. It was there in the title the whole time. No one knew. Anyway, so what happens to that month of Channel Fireball Pro now?
Oh, we just shut down Channel Fireball Pro altogether.
That was the one thing we needed. That promo was...
We needed one more to get over the line for the month.
I can't remember if I've told this story on the stream on the podcast before. This happened on stream. I'm going to tell you it again anyway because it's so good. I think I have. Someone came into the stream and was like, oh, such a shame about, the pro, Wizards were like walking back pro and all that sort of stuff, right? Like pro Magic and whatever else. And they said it was because Magic Legends failed.
Yes.
I've told this before, right? I think I've definitely told you. Someone came in and said that they had like access to inside information at Wizards that said that the reason that they'd shut down like Pro Magic and were sunsetting the MPL and all the rest of it is because they spent too much money on Magic Legends and had to bail that out. And then Magic Legends is now shutting down. So
it's not even coming out of beta.
No. So
I can't believe that, man.
So sorry everyone, but that's the end of Channel Fireball Pro. If only you'd been able to guess this secret sound. Yeah, there it is. That's it. Before we get into the advice, Dennis...
And so Channel Fireball Pro dies, Riley. Not with a bang, but with a...
Dennis, there's something you want to talk about before we get into the advice.
Yes. Riley, I wanted to hear your take.
Mm.
in old man yells at cloud style, because yep. Ryan and I talked about this off the podcast. I know Riley's take.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Historic Horizons Jumpstart?
Jumpstart Horizons, yeah.
Cards made specifically for Arena that can never be made in paper because they rely on things like randomness and replacing other cards with other things and permanently giving cards +1/+1 and stuff like that.
You know,
like Hearthstone, for example.
So for those of you who haven't seen, yes, Jumpstart Arena Historic or whatever it's called is adding a bunch of new cards, like a bunch of new cards to Arena. And some of them have mechanics that are functional, not exactly. I know there are going to be nerds in the Discord who be like, well, actually you could. It's like, basically, you know what I'm talking about. These aren't really cards that you can play. You can try to, I guess, but like they're not cards that are really going to translate to paper very easily at all, right? I don't like them.
You don't like them?
I don't like them. And I don't know why. I can't articulate that anymore. And the reason that you use the phrase old man yells at clouds is because that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you why they don't sit well with me. I think that it's really ridiculous that people are coming out and being like, well, it's just very clearly the death of paper magic. You know, it's clear. Like, there was a comment I read that someone was like, Wizards need to make up their mind whether they're making a digital card game or a paper card game. It's like, no, they don't. They can make two at the same time. They can make both. Mm-hmm. They can make card game. Like, it's not as if they have to pick a lane and stick to it, right? They can still print Commander products and still print new sets and all that sort of stuff while also, you know, innovating and changing stuff on a regular.
There can be differences between the digital version of the game and the real version. Like, there are stark differences between Call of Duty Warzone and the occupation of Iraq. Like, they're just not really the same, and that's okay.
I don't like this, and I don't know why. I can't say why, other than, you know, it. Thing is, if you go back to one of my articles recently, I talked about how Historic is never going to be in a paper format, right? Beforehand, because I've had people in my stream be like, oh, you know, should I buy this Historic deck? I'm like, in paper? And like, yeah. I'm like, no. And they go, why? It's like, it's not a paper format, man. Like, it's not, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, but you know, they might run events and stuff. So I'm like, I don't think so. And this just cements that. But I don't know why. I'm having trouble figuring out my own opinion with this and why it's there, because like, I feel like it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction to me. It's like, I don't like these without, because I can't justify it. I don't like it because it decouples Arena from paper. But then they were already decoupled because I was already saying that Historic was an online-only format.
I like it.
Okay. You like them.
I like them. Here's why.
Okay, go on.
Magic has not been utilizing the fact that it has a digital component to its game properly at all.
Okay.
Magic has been trying to replicate a paper game in a digital world.
Okay.
Which is awkward and hard and difficult and sucks sometimes.
Yeah, with stuff like infinite combos and whatever else, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. So, why not use it? Why not make a set that does all the stuff that you wish you could do? And we were talking about this earlier, and you were like, I don't like this because, you know, maybe this opens the door for them, instead of banning cards, nerfing them on Arena, making it to fairy cost 6 instead of 5.
I didn't say that I didn't like it because of that. I said that's another thing that I think we can reasonably expect.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. I don't love that. I don't like that Teferi in paper will cost 3 and will be banned, and then online it costs 4 and is okay. Why? The problem I'm having here is I don't know how to justify this dislike that I have.
I think it'll just cost 4 in paper as well.
You think they'll just errata it?
Mm-hmm.
There just seems to be such a deep-seated dislike of that idea.
Well, that's because reading the card explains the card is usually a pretty sacred rule.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about companions.
That is different, though. That's very sort of slippery slopey to say, like, oh, companions were the way that this all started. Like, that's a little different, I think. I don't know. The problem I'm having here is that it is fine for me to not like these new cards. Not everyone has to like everything. But I can't justify why, other than, oh, it's not the way that it was when I started playing, you know? And that's not a limited reason, man.
It is weird about Historic. Like, and like you said, this definitely solidifies Historic as never being a paper format, which is whatever. I mean, Pioneer is supposed to be the paper equivalent, and that's a name I've not heard in a long time. But the idea of, like, a limited format, for example, like if it was a draftable set that did a bunch of weird shit, like Conspiracy.
This is Conspiracy, like, at that point. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's sick.
I love Conspiracy.
Like, imagine it was, like, reverse the order of drafting.
Yeah.
That's something you could do in paper, I suppose. but like swap your three of your cards and another player with three random cards from around the table.
Sure.
Or it's a rare that when you draft it is just a blank 0/0/0.
Hmm.
And when you go into deck building, it randomly becomes a rare from somebody else's pool and they get to
So this is like a conspiracy type thing that would only work in digital.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But the thing is, those cards, like all of the conspiracy cards, well, the actual conspiracies themselves, they're all like you can't play them in constructed. And all the other weird cards that interact with the draft are just unplayable in constructed.
Do you know what they also are unplayable in?
Yeah.
Online.
How?
These are paper, like conspiracy doesn't work online.
It's, yeah, it could. It definitely could.
Is there anything in these sets that doesn't? I'm trying to think if there's any paper only things.
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything that just would never work digitally. It gets very weird and complicated.
Hmm.
Right? Like what was the card? The classic example. It always gets brought up for
the river.
Or whatever it is, one of them. No, the one, like, it's the it's a red card. There's, like, a picture of three brains. I forget what it's called, but basically it's, like, an opponent arranges stuff into three piles and one pile gets picked randomly. And Modo wasn't, Magic Online couldn't handle three piles. It could handle two, but not three, right? So they had to rewrite all of the Microsoft Excel code that was behind it in order to make the game process three piles for an unplayable card that no one was ever going to put in a constructed deck, but they had to do that anyway, right?
Yeah, stuff like that happens all the time.
Yeah. So I guess, like, I'm just having trouble. This is what I wanted to discuss with you. I'm having trouble justifying my dislike of these cards, and I don't like that. I don't like holding opinions that I can't justify. And so maybe I should not like these cards if I can't tell you why I don't like them.
If you have nothing nice to say, it's if you have nothing nice to say and no way to explain it.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
Why don't I like these cards? It's because they're weird and different and they do something that I don't think needed to be done.
Are you going to try the set? You must. Sure.
I mean, got to find grist for the content mill, right?
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just not enthused about. Like when new cards come out, especially recently with the D&D set and whatever else, like I'm just into it, man. I want to see these cards. I want to play with them, that sort of stuff. And then this kind of, like there's a new Davriel, whatever. This annoys me so much. I mean, whatever. I guess it's nice, but like everyone's like, this Davriel looks like Riley. It's like, okay, we both have a moustache.
I'm gonna see it. This picture.
I don't look like this guy, man. We just both have him. He looks like a bloody cartoon, a Saturday morning cartoon character villain.
Oh, he does look like you.
He doesn't look like me.
Looks exactly like you.
This is what happened with Tomb Robber, just because Tomb Robber has a moustache, man.
Tomb Robber looks exactly like you. It's your invitational card.
Dennis, I'm more than my moustache, please. My eyes are up here.
Slightly further up, but not much.
Not a whole lot further up, but a little bit further up.
Have you seen Pleasant Kenobi's invitational card?
What is it again? The guy the stood centaur. Up on the thing. What's it called?
I'm looking it up now. It's a 2. It's a 4/2 and a 2/4. Circle of the Moon Druid.
That's right. Circle of the Moon Druid. Yeah.
I thought this was a centaur. It's not. It's just a guy with a like skirt.
Yep. I don't know, man. Look, it feels weird. And it also, I mean, I agree, if it were just like, oh, here are some fun cards that are going to be played in this like weird limited set, I'd be like, great, sign me up. Historic is a competitive format. It's a format where tens of thousands of dollars are won and lost, you know?
Digitally.
So? It's still...
So why not have digital-only cards?
But, yeah, I guess.
If it's a competitive format with so much money is won and lost, give it some love. Give it some a deft hand. Make it unique. Make it special.
You think so?
Make it something only Arena and Hearthstone Legends of Runeterra could do.
All right, man. Well, when we end up playing with Yogg-Saron and, you know, when we get Pavel flipping ridiculous babbling books on Arena.
Let's go. Ragnaros, baby.
I don't know. Then again, 4 years later, we're still talking about Pavel and his babbling book. So maybe it's good. Maybe it's good.
What are you talking about? What is Pavlin's Babbling Book?
So in Hearthstone, there is a card called Babbling Book, right? It's a 1-mana 1/1.
Oh, Pavel Book, I see. Yes,
and
yes,
when
yes.
It enters the battlefield, it makes a random spell in your hand. So it's basically 1-mana 1/1 draw a card, except the card can be actual anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a World Championship semi-final one time, Pavel played a Babbling Book. hit the exact, like, I think he had two, like, in all of Hearthstone's cards, he had a two outer, right? Mm-hmm. So this isn't like two in his deck. This is two in the thousands of cards that have been printed, right? That could get any hit it. It's a polymorph or something. And then a couple of turns later, same situation. He's staring down the barrel of a gun, plays the Babbling Brook, and rips another perfect answer to the situations and goes on to win the whole thing.
As intended.
I guess so. And, you know, people talk about how terrible it was, but now here we are 4 years
later. How exciting is that?
On a Magic podcast talking about it. So,
yeah. Could you imagine having like a moment in Magic like this, like so RNG dependent? Like, imagine like you were like going to lose and you like top deck to Lightning Helix or something, like something like ridiculous like that. Like, it was pure chance that you got that card. And, like,
I don't think people are complaining about. I think this is not this is a disingenuous way of approaching the way that people are disliking it. I don't think they're disliking the randomness of it, because these new mechanics aren't particularly random, right?
No, they're more like, it's more randomness is something that exists on weird dice rolling now, for Christ's sake.
The new conjure mechanic is not RNG based most of the time. I think people just don't like their card game, their physical paper card game, being decoupled from the digital one.
I think they're upset that Wizards is pushing their focus elsewhere.
Maybe. If that's their problem, then I think that's foolish, because I don't think Wizards are. Wizards make infinite money from paper Magic. Infinite money. Digital Magic costs them more than paper Magic.
I don't know if that's true.
There was I don't know, man. There was something about their quarterly earnings or whatever else, and they were talking about how the cost of running an R&D studio for a digital game was a significant outlay. You know, how much could it cost to print a card?
$5, $10.
$5 or $10, right? They've got that infrastructure set up. Now they've got an in-house digital studio maintaining this client, right? That can't be cheap.
I wonder if it really makes that much money. It must, right?
I don't think it makes as much money as Paper Magic. I don't have any inside information about this, but like,
I don't think so either.
Paper Magic has to make more money.
Yeah, I think so too.
It has to. Just from the sheer number of players and the desirability of owning these cards and people wanting, like, you know, cool commander foils or whatever, man.
Will we answer some questions, ready?
I'm sorry that I have this opinion. I don't know why I do. I wish I could justify it. I don't know who I'm apologizing to. Mainly me, right? Because I like being positive and enthusiastic about stuff, and I like looking for the good in things. But for some reason, this just isn't sitting well with me, and I can't justify it any more than that. So I'm sorry. Anyway, huge bummer from me today. I do apologize, Dennis. Some bad vibes, Riley, today. We've got a question here from Maximus. Let me read it to you. Needed some advice. Here we go. I'm prepping for a trios tournament, and I'm playing Modern in the coming weeks, and I haven't played Paper Magic since GP Reno in 2020. Seems like a lifetime ago. When was GP Reno?
It was in 2020.
Yeah, but when?
It was one of the last ones.
I was going to say, there wasn't a lot of Paper Magic in 2020. It must have been like March or February?
It was...
It really kind
of
like...
28th of February.
8th of February. Okay, yeah, so very early on.
28th of February to the 1st of March.
I thought you said 8th. 28th of February, yeah, so really, really...
This may have been the last one.
Well, the last Magic event I went to was the one at DreamHack, and the one before that was the Players Tour Phoenix, and that was early February.
Yeah, yeah, I was at DreamHack with you.
Yeah. There weren't many after that. Let me see. Anyway, in Reno, yep. And I, like many others, took to Arena to scratch that Magic itch, but around July of 2020, I stopped playing because of how dumb the standard historic formats were becoming. The question I'm inquiring about is, how do I take online success and apply it to in-person events and formats? I have friends who play MTGO, not MTGA, and give me the details of the Modern format, but I rarely take that with any weight. Given that online has been the primary form of Magic lately, am I wrong in thinking online results do not draw a fair picture of the Modern format, or how much weight I should give to those results in my preparation on what to expect?
Some more old man yells at clouds vibes here.
Maximus, I don't know what to say to you here, mate. Given that online has been the primary form of Magic lately, am I wrong in thinking online results do not draw a fair picture of the Modern format? Mate,
what Modern format?
Online results are the Modern format.
I think there's a world where, like, because people haven't had access to Magic cards in the same way, I mean, you can still buy them online, people don't go into pre-releases, I imagine there's much less Strixhaven call time and things like that open than there would have been in previous sets just around the world. that maybe when people come out of their quarantine to play
affecting like top end spiky, like if they need four copies of Ragavan, they're going to have four copies of Ragavan, right? Like top end spiky players are going to have the cards they need. Availability doesn't come into it. No, this doesn't sound like that to me. I don't think that's like, oh, is Magic Online reflective of the paper meta? Because I don't think it's about card availability. I think it's like I think this question is like, does online Magic even count? Are these even real decks?
I mean, you get local metas that are different from world metas.
Sure, yeah.
But online is the closest thing we have to a world meta.
Yeah.
And it actually just is a world meta. I don't know why I'm supposed to think it is. Especially the last year.
Yeah, but the thing is, even before the pandemic, right, for formats like Legacy, for formats like Modern, even Standard, MTG, really, like, was still driven by online results. Even before Arena, MTGO informed people around the world as to which decks would do. There wasn't a Pro Tour every weekend. There might have been a GP every weekend, but every week, all those people that are having success with GPs, they were grinding Moto, man, and they were doing it with decks that were winning challenges or going 5-0 in the leagues, that sort of stuff. Maximus, I don't know how to tell you this, my friend, but, like, you need to wake up and smell the pixels because, this question, to be quite honest with you, it smacks of like a sort of superiority thing when it comes to playing in paper rather than digital.
Yeah, it's nonsense.
Does that make sense? It smacks.
It does
being
feel
like
that a little bit. Yeah,
it's like, oh well, you know, I play real Magic. I play in paper, and I'm not saying that you're that kind of player, Maximus, but I'm saying that like this question makes you sound like you immediately disregard digital results as being irrelevant.
Lesser for some reason, yeah. Yeah,
irrelevant, or again, at a minimum, as Dennis says, lesser or less worthy, and they're not, and you're doing yourself a huge disservice because formats are solved online now. You know, that's where the good decks are. That's where the best.
I don't think you can, even in a world where it was actually true that digital results were lesser than paper results, I don't think you can afford to ignore them.
No. But they're just not, is the other thing.
Oh, they're also just not. Like, they're actually much better.
Especially over the last year. Like, if you're one of those people that before with GPs and stuff, you're like, oh, this deck did really well at this GP, I'm going to play this, I'm not going to look at online results, like, blah, 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 whatever. Like, that, at least you can defend there. But, like, what I come back to again, third time now in this question, is that given that online has been the primary form of Magic lately, am I wrong in thinking that online results do not draw a fair picture of the modern format? The modern format is online. Sure, it's being played in paper now more than it has been for the last couple of months or whatever. Like, sure, people are going back to shops and playing with decks. But when was the last modern GP? When was the last quote-unquote modern tournament?
Reno.
You know?
Reno had modern PTQs. That's probably it.
So these, there just aren't big modern tournaments. There aren't modern tournaments. And the thing is, you were talking before about local metas and that sort of stuff. Those are less accurate pictures of the paper meta. So I think here you really need to start having a look at what's going on online, because that's what everyone else will be doing. Those are the decks you need to prepare against. That is the metagame. What is happening on MTGO? There aren't GPs, man. There aren't huge modern 10Ks being played at places every weekend anymore.
I mean, even when there were, you had so much more data from Magic Online than you did in paper tournaments.
I just don't know how you can get through being a competitive spiky Magic player without taking online results seriously, because online results are what drive, or what used to drive, the big paper tournaments anyway.
Yeah, you 100% have to.
So how much weight should I give those results in my preparation, what to expect? My question to you, Maximus, is this: what else are you using?
Yeah, actually, that's true. What's in the other column here in the pros and cons?
Yeah, when you're like, oh, I've got my online results and I've got what else to compare them
intuition?
Against? Intuition?
Tarot readings?
Tarot readings, maybe? Sure. Very powerful way, you know, to get some powerful auguries as to whether, you know, how many copies of Core Firewalk you should play in your sideboard. Great. But, like, at the end of the day, when you're like, how much weight should I give to these results in my preparation and what to expect? How much weight should you give them in lieu of what, man?
Yeah, I don't know what the alternative
is. What Darren brings goes 2-1 with at your Friday night FNM, bloody... Friday night FNM. At Friday night Magic Modern
your
event?
Pin number...
At your LGS store?
At your local LGS store that sells games?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, man. Online results are the modern format right now. Online results, like Magic is an online...
Speaking as our resident modern expert, I really don't think you can ignore it. I don't know how you could possibly justify it.
I don't get it. Like, even with things reopening, even with FNMs being back on, even with, you know, tournaments being staged again, I would say Magic's still an online game at the moment. What percentage of competitive Magic takes place online at the moment?
The vast
overwhelming majority of it, right? There aren't big tournaments that are being played offline, right? There's FNM, sure, there's smaller stuff, but there's not big tournaments that are driving metagames forward. It's streamers, man. It's Canister.
Crokies is the authority.
Crokies is the best Magic player online in the world. And he's obviously, you've seen this, right? You have to have seen this.
Oh, yeah.
During Magic coverage, all the Crokies fans come in and say, why isn't Crokies playing this tournament? He's obviously the best player. Well, he's not the best player in the world. He might be the most prolific player in the world, but he's not the best player in the world.
I mean, more people watch him play than anybody else. Probably makes him the best player.
Must do. Must make him the best player. Yeah.
That's probably true. Makes the most money out of it.
Do you think he makes the most money out of Magic? As a player? I wonder who is the best. He's got a long way to go to catch up on PV.
That's true.
I'd probably be up there. If we made a fortune, yeah. You know, 30 under 30. Well, I guess we don't have to do the under 30. Whatever.
Yeah.
X under whatever. All-time Magic earners. Ah, Kronkers would probably be on that list.
I reckon some coverage people might be on that list too. A very consistent gig.
Oh, we don't need to shine the spotlight in that direction. Let's Dennis, come on. Let's focus on the players. As a long-term coverage member, my job is to highlight the players here, Dennis. So let's not turn the spotlight
on
that.
You did use to joke that you were one of the better paid Magic professionals in the game.
I'm one of the few people who's made it out on top.
Yeah,
there are many of us. True. Like Magic has definitely
You're in the green.
I've definitely earned more money on Magic than I've spent on it over the years. So yeah, I'm very grateful for that. Anyway, I've got another question here that comes in from Dave. You want to read it here?
Dave writes in Riley and says, "Hi, Smart. I have a question about rotation and getting new cards. I was reading Riley's articles on CFB about moving from online to paper, and he talked about being careful about buying certain cards ahead of rotation because I won't be able to play with them afterwards. I want to get into Paper Magic properly and start playing now, but if I'm wasting money by buying standard decks, would I be better off waiting until rotation happens? It feels like it's a long time away, and I want to be able to play now with things opening up again. Any advice is appreciated."
Yes, this is something that I guess for newer players you've got to account for. The fact that, you know, if you go and buy a playset of, I don't know, man, a card that's going to rotate out in... Why can't I think of a single card that's going to rotate out?
Pick any card from Throne of Eldraine.
Yeah. You're going to buy... Oh, Bonecrusher Giant is in every single deck. I'll buy a playset of it. It's like, great, you've got 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a feel bad for new players. So it's something I didn't talk about a whole lot in these articles. You can't have a look at these articles. Well, if you're an online player who wants to make the jump into Paper Magic, you should have a look at them because they might be useful. But rotation's one of those things, a bit of a kick in the guts. It's like, oh, what? I can't play with these cards anymore, you know? And a lot of them, people say, oh, you know, you play Modern, you play Pioneer, whatever else. But a lot of them, they're not making it to, you know, it's such a tiny proportion of cards that make it to those formats.
Now is an awkward time to buy cards that are about to rotate in 8 weeks, granted, obviously.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, you get a long time out of those cards.
I think, like, in the time between core set and rotation is, like, the most awkward time to buy cards that are rotating out. And that's when I'd really say to people, just be careful what you pick up, right? So any cards that are in Eldraine, Ikoria, Theros, Core Set 2021, like, I just wouldn't buy them, man. It's such a bad... I mean, well, I guess on the other hand, it's a good time to buy because everyone's trying to sell them because it's before rotation. But, like, these cards are not going to be very playable for very long. And broadly speaking, they're not going to make it into old formats.
People have already moved on, man. Starting 2022 is popular on Arena.
This is what I want to talk about. What you do, Dave, this is actually honest and earnest advice here. What you do... is you go onto Arena deck lists, you go into channelfireball.com, you go and look at these 2022 deck lists that are being posted. And it's amazing that they are, right? Because it's not a real format, right? But people are posting deck lists and whatever else for this 2022 Arena-only format, right? And that'll give you not only a good idea of what might be coming after rotation. Obviously, we have to see what's in Innistrad and whatever else. That'll change things pretty significantly based on what's in that. But... it gives you a deck that is going to be competitive, that you can take to FNM and is not going to just bend you over and take all your lunch money by making you buy cards that are going to rotate out. And there's a caveat. These decks aren't going to be as powerful as the Sultai Ultimatums and the Rogues decks and whatever else that you're playing against, but you still will be able to go and give a good account of yourself at an FNM playing with these 2022 decks, and then you can transition them into quote-unquote real decks once rotation happens, right?
With like minimal, yeah. And also, like, you can buy some, you can, like, you can buy some decks that have like a couple of cards that are going to rotate out and hedge.
That's true. Like, you know, lands are usually a good bet. Like, for example, if you can pick up some Triumphs or something like that, they're fine. Like, having those cards is never that bad. They're always going to be playable and stuff like Commander. I think some of them see a little bit of play in Modern, so lands are a safe bet. Or just, like, cheap dollar rares or whatever. I mean, who cares, man? Like, you just pick them up for your deck. So it's a weird time to be buying into Standard, but it's also not one that you should just be like, it's not binary is what we're saying, right?
You don't need to wait 8 weeks. You can thread the needle here. Yeah. This is a needle that is threadable.
Yeah. I wouldn't start going out and chucking huge dollars at cards like Brazen Borrower, although, I mean, maybe that's a card that'll stick around in Modern. But,
okay, yeah.
But you know, okay, here, don't go and buy like Sultai Ultimatum. There you go. Avoid that. But have a look. Have a look at some of the 2022 decks. See if there's ones that you like. Pick one of them up. They're going to be cheaper. And then, depending on what's in Innistrad, you might even be able to upgrade that deck and have it be a real Standard deck post-rotation.
I mean, we have most information what Standard's going to look like now.
I always think this, right? And then the new set is released in October or September or whatever.
It could be Eldraine again.
And it just changes everything again. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you feel like it changes everything because it gets, like, well, with such a focus on Standard 2022, I don't think that's true anymore.
Okay, this is my question, right? Is this different this year because so many, like, thousands of hours have been put into this format?
This is different.
So you don't think that Innistrad could change it that much?
It can't, unless we have an Eldraine problem.
Unless it's another Eldraine problem, yeah. Which, based on recent sets, doesn't seem to be the case. When you look at, like, the D&D set...
I don't know. You want the one that comes out post-rotation to be a good one.
I was going to say, haven't Wizards learnt their lesson, but... I mean, people hate Eldraine, dude.
Mm-hmm.
People hate Eldraine. I don't think they can afford another Eldraine, man.
Can they afford it to be a... I mean, it being a crappy set just makes that Kaldheim look cool again or whatever, right?
I think people have enjoyed more recent sets being less full-on and over-the-top. And you're right. Like, if the next set... If the next Innistrad set is, like, just kind of... Not, like, Ixalan bad in terms
just
of...
Just lower powered,
it means that we're going to have these other cards from other sets that have just been ignored for a year.
Maybe the World Tree comes back.
Yeah, from Kaldheim. Well, Strixhaven, dude. There's one card in Strixhaven. Like, apart from Elite Spellbinder, what else in Strixhaven sees play? Like, Lean in Lightscribe in mono white? Right?
Yeah, maybe it's their time.
So, I don't know. I think that I think that the best shot here for Innistrad would be to aim low in terms of power level and hope that it doesn't completely throw the format out the window. And if that's the case, Dave, then buying into a 2022 deck is the way to go. And I think that's probably just a good move anyway, right? Like, if you want to go and play Standard now, that's what you do. Don't go and buy Sultai Ultimatum. Don't go and buy Rogues.
Yeah, don't buy Bonecrusher Giants.
No, don't go and get a playset of Thieves Guild Enforcers because that card is just going to be garbage in a couple of months, right? Whereas if you go and pick up, I don't know, there's the... Gregor Kowalski posted a mono white list that plays like Book of Exalted Deeds. It's like an aggro deck that's got that book... Faceless Haven combo in case you want to win that way as well. There's a bunch of cool and weird stuff in Standard 2020. Although I think Book of Exalted Deeds is now banned in Standard 2020, but not in Standard, so you can still play it at your FNM. Bunch of cool stuff you could do. So I don't know. I think
that's the approach for sure.
I think that's my actual and earnest advice, Dennis.
Rare treat. Let's stop talking about earnest advice, Ryan. Let's talk about Pokemon
too
for a
much.
Moment.
Oh, thank goodness. So much talk, so much magic and advice talk on this Magic Advice podcast. No, thank you.
Ryan, we had Scrimy River,
yeah.
The podcast that you're currently listening to.
Yeah.
We've had Shahrazad Mia River.
Yes, the podcast
which was
the podcast.
Our podcast within the podcast. We're talking about video games we were playing.
Yeah.
Which someone misheard as Charizard Mia River, which we started calling that because it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Gank Me From River, which is our League of Legends podcast within a podcast. With a Pokemon MOBA, Riley, we now have Charizard Me From River.
Oh, dude, because it's Charizard me. Yeah, because League of Legends ganked me from River. So it's Charizard me from River, our Pokemon Unite MOBA podcast.
Now, I have not played this game, Riley, but you have.
I don't understand why you haven't played it, Dennis. I don't understand how I'm the one who has played Pokemon Unite and you haven't.
Would you play it with me? I'm coming to visit you next week. Will we play some Pokemon Unite?
I'm not sure that you can. Oh, you probably can if you like have friend lists and stuff. Yes. Yes, I will, Dennis.
All right, I'll download it.
I hesitate to say it's kind of fun. Like, I didn't think I would find a MOBA where I was like, ah, all right, okay.
Is it because you're playing against 11-year-olds?
Dennis, one of the reasons I find it fun is because the caliber of competition, right? Let me tell you about the kind of people you're going to play against, these fierce competitors. That's what really keeps me coming back to... Actually, I don't keep coming back to it. I haven't played it very much. But what I really like about Pokemon Unite is that you do a lot of winning. You do
playing against snot-nosed 11-year-olds.
You do win a lot of games in Pokemon Unite just because, like, I don't know.
They're children?
You're probably playing as, like, literal children. What my experience with this game has been, right, is that so those of you who don't know, Pokemon Unite's a MOBA. It's kind of like, it's like a very simple, stripped-down League of Legends or Dota, right, or whatever, with Pokemon. You play as Pokemon, right? And you go around, you try to knock out, you fight wild Pokemon to get points, and then you try to jungle, you say. You deposit those points in your opponent's base, whatever else, right? There's no towers or anything like that, and the skill sets of the Pokemon are very simple. But it's basically just, you know, League for kids.
Baby's first league.
But what is always the case when you play, so it's 5-on-5. There's one player who is just ridiculous, like
insanely good at the game.
Four times as many points as anyone else.
Clearly plat 4 in League of Legends or whatever.
Exactly. And then there's one other person who is like just an adult playing the game. That's me. And then there are three children. And sometimes if you're lucky...
You're just babysitting.
There are four
dude.
Children on the other team or even five, right? And they don't know what they're doing, right? And they have not... You've seen me tower dive, Dennis.
Playing League of Legends, yeah, of course.
Imagine a game where every push was a tower dive.
And there was no towers.
Like, well...
You're just running at people.
They ignore everything that's just come straight for you, right? And the thing is, you level up just in the same way as League, right? And if you're in League, if you're like level 10 and they're level 11, you're like, oop, careful.
Yeah.
Watch out, right?
They'll have 2 points in their roll. You got to be careful.
I'm playing games of Pokemon Unite where I'm level 14 and they're level 6. And they see you and they're like, they go straight over to you. And you're like, all right, well, I'm just going to ult real quick. And
I'll just annihilate you real quick. One sec.
So if you enjoy... it does feel fun after like months and months of getting absolutely pub stomped at... Absolutely curb stomped, I should say, by people in League. It feels fun to be the one.
Is it like playing those first couple Bok games we played when playing League of Legends?
I didn't even enjoy them, man, I have to say. But yeah, no, it's fun. It's a fun game.
I'll bring my Switch. We'll play Pokemon Unite.
Here's what I don't like about it. It's free, which means it costs a lot of money to play.
Or time.
No, dude, like...
Oh, it is. I've heard it's actual pay to win.
It's just a 10-cent pay to win game, dude. Like it really is. You know, you can grind it out.
You say that League is a 10-cent game.
Yeah. Well, this one is even more of a. This one is an 11-cent game based on that. Like it's bad, man. It's bad. You get like obviously there's a weekly rotation of, or might even be daily. I don't know, of free Pokemon that you can play as
Pocketman. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, all the good ones are. And they don't even like this.
Charizard's not in the free rotation.
It's so shameless as well. They're like, oh, you want Gengar, huh? Pay up. Oh, you want
this? How much does a Pokemon cost to unlock?
20 or 30 euros. Not cheap. Not cheap, man. Like there's like a free battle pass that you can grind out coins and that sort of stuff. But like, you're not unlocking everything. You're not unlocking everything without getting that wallet out. And I don't like that, man. I don't like that. I really don't like that monetization model. You know? It feels bad.
Well, I mean, how many Pokemon are there?
In the game?
Yeah.
Like 15? 20?
And how many are free at any given time?
Five? Six? Five?
Yeah, I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
Would you rather just pay 25 quid for the game?
Yes. This is what happened with Destiny, man. We, you know, I've been playing Destiny, right? Destiny's got money out of me because they're like, hey, here's a battle pass if you want it. Here's the season thing. Here's the DLC. Go and play the game. Not every time I log in, oh, get this. Oh, you can't unlock that without this. You come and get these gems. Like, they don't have that. And so now I'm like, here's, have some money, Destiny, because I like it. I like the cut of your jib. Like, I know, look, this whole thing is, this whole episode has been old men yelling at clouds, right? But I like that when I bought Pokemon Gold. Shit, that's not even true. I was about to say, I like when I played Pokemon Gold, I could catch them all, but I couldn't because I needed my brother to have Pokemon Silver.
Yeah.
They've been doing me dirty
from day one.
Since 1996, man, they've been doing me dirty. Since I first bought Pokemon Red, they've been doing me dirty. Oh my goodness. I got a lot of thinking to do, Dennis.
Well,
anyway,
thank you for listening. Pokemon United Riley has an existential crisis about Pokemon.
If
you've
got a Switch, download it. If you, I don't know, I'm not paying any money. I'm putting 0 cents into this 10-cent game, but I guess I'll play it for a little bit because it's kind of fun to. Can I tell you one more thing before we wrap up? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, when Pokemon Stadium was announced, right? And it was that one was like, there were 3D Pokemon that were fighting. I thought what it was going to be was you controlled a Pokemon, like personally, and you moved around the arena and you had to like aim your moves and all that sort of stuff, right? You know, if you're playing as a Blastoise, you had to physically move your Blastoise around the arena, use Hydro Pump, aim in the right place at the opposing Pokemon. Yeah, they could try to
dodge. Almost like a fighting game.
Like a full 3D, like, yeah, RPG, whatever.
Yeah.
Turns out, no, it was just... It's the same as the Game Boy versions, more or less, but, you know, 3D.
With 3D graphics.
And now, 20 years later, here we are playing the game. Not, I have to say, I didn't imagine it to be a MOBA, but playing the game that I imagined as a kid, controlling a Pokemon, using moves in the right place. It was, yeah, so.
When are we getting Pokemon MMO?
I think it's in the works, right?
Mm.
Yeah. It's coming.
God, that'd be good.
That'd be fun. I like Pokemon a lot. I like Pokemon so much that I'm playing a MOBA. Like, that's how much I like Pokemon, man.
Now, would you play League if you could be a Charizard in it, or a Gengar?
I have to say...
It wouldn't be a character. There are characters that are basically Charizard and basically Gengar in there already.
Before we go too overboard here, like, I'm not giving up, you know, my entire... I'm not turning into a Pokemon Unite stream or anything. It's a game that I have played a little bit.
Would you stream it?
Pokemon Unite? I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, it's difficult to stream... Oh, that's from a Switch anyway.
I can't get the sound set up working properly with my Switch, unfortunately, to stream. But I don't know, man. It's a fine game, and I've enjoyed it a little bit. But like, it's not gonna, you know. I'll tell you this: we're not gonna be sitting here talking about it in a month.
It's probably the one and only ever episode of Charizard Mew from River. Is there a river?
No, there's no river. Boo. I mean, there is a way that you can walk from the bottom of the map to the top of the map, like straight. So I guess technically that's a river.
But is there a river? Is there water in it?
It's not physically a river, no. Not the same. I mean, there's no jungle. It's long grass.
Well, that makes sense. They had that in the
They had that one ready to go. Yeah, it's very funny though because like when I was playing it, I was like, okay, we'll do Baron. Zapdos. You know? Yeah. Oh, the dragon's up. You go and fight. I don't even know. It's some new
Moltres
Pokemon.
Or whatever.
No. It's like a new Pokemon. I don't know what the name of it. It's like a big turtle. I honestly, I'm not, I'm, this isn't a
but
bit.
But there is a dragon and a baron.
There are dragons and baron, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's fun, man. It's a fun game. We'll play it. Wait, is next week's episode going to be
live?
It's going to be live. It's going to be us in the same room, Dennis, in the meat space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen you in IRL for...
2 years?
No, a year and a half. DreamHack. Anaheim.
Oh, yeah, Anaheim.
Anaheim also. Was the last one, yeah. After we went to B-dubs, man. We did go to B-dubs. Can't go to B-dubs here, but I'll take you out, man. Don't worry about it.
We went to B-dubs in a weird, really busy strip mall.
Yeah. Hey, it was great. And then we went to Dave and Buster's.
In this economy?
Both Dave and Buster. It was great.
Dave and Buster's was fun.
I had a good time. It was too noisy.
Did we do anything at Dave and Buster's?
I think we played a little bit, and then we had to... Why do we have to go? Oh, because the after party for DreamHack was... And then we went and hung out with Bloody...
Oh, yeah, with Bloody and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. It was fun. It was a fun time, man. Remember those times we used to hang out in real life like friends? Oh.
Nope.
I've forgotten all. Lost.
I live in this chair now.
Lost to the mist of time. All right, we're done. Well, that's it.
We're crashing up on an hour again, dude.
Yeah, once again. A small show. Heaven forbid we ever do a big show. We'll be here for 3 hours.
What's the longest episode of Smart?
The one we did with...
I have an idea, Riley.
With Louise. I think it was an hour and a half gone.
Ditch the vinyl.
Okay. That easily done. We never weren't ditching the vinyl.
100th episode of Smar.
Yeah.
12-hour episode?
No.
Six?
I'll give you two. How about that?
Ooh, double feature.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine. 2-hour episode. All right, we're done. That's it.
Stay fresh, cheese bags. Check out all the comments, we can grab all the good stuff. He's good smokers.